lesson today has for its, that is, its primary goal or objective, the fact that not only is it futile, naive, and dumb, yes, dumb, to try to run from God, to try to avoid God, to try to ignore God, but that there are terrible consequences that are inevitable when a man or a woman takes it upon him herself to ignore God and God's word, or to avoid God and God's word. Most, if not all of us here, are well acquainted with the fact that the Almighty God had previously commissioned Jonah to go to Nineveh and warn the Ninevites in respect to pending destruction of that great city. The city was so large, it would take 3 days to walk across it. Jonah, like many of us, was ignorant of the God for whom he was working and the God that commissioned him. As a result of that ignorance, Jonah tried to hide from God, to run from God. That is never possible. No man ever successfully hide from God or run from God. In fact, if we want to do some comparison here, if Jonah had just some of the knowledge that David had, he would not attempt this futile thing. Run to Psalms 139, verse 7 through verse 12. Let us hear it.
Whither shall I go from thy spirit?
Start again. You're at the right passage. Whither shall I go? That is, where shall I go from
thy spirit?
Thy spirit.
Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?
Where am I going to run from your presence? Watch here. Don't move from there. Had Jonah known this, or think over this, he would not I've had the experience where God had to terrorize Jonah to bring him to his senses. Did you know that sometimes the Almighty God have to do that with us? We live in the age of terrorism. Huh? There is no bigger terror than God. I can actually take you to the Bible where that very word is used to describe God's action or God's work. Read on.
If I ascend up into heaven.
If I ascend, remember, Jonah got a commission. That is a commandment, a work to be accomplished by him for God. May I? Jonah, there's a lot of things here that you must keep in mind about the message. And Jonah, that is what was going on in Jonah's mind. Jonah going to confess. But you will read this confession and don't recognize. You see, it's not so much fear for the Ninevites why Jonah ran away. Jonah ran away. That's one of the reasons. Because of God's graciousness and mercy. You still don't get it yet, you know. Some of you know the lesson, so you know what I'm saying. But some of you, let me repeat that. It was because God was gracious and merciful that Jonah ran away when he got the first commission to go to Nineveh. In a few minutes, I will relate more. Whither shall I go from thy spirit or thy presence? If I did what?
If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there.
If I go to heaven, you are there, God.
If I make my bed in hell.
If I take the opposite direction.
Behold.
Wait, if I go to hell, you will be there. But somebody will say, God, will you not get burned in hell? No, the fire of hell has no effect on God. Truly. Yeah, truly. Read on.
If I take the wings of the morning.
If I take the wings of the morning.
And dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea.
And dwell in the utmost part of the sea.
Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
Isn't this wonderful? Wherever we go, God is there. There's no place we can go that God is not there. Jonah should have kept this in mind. He did a foolish and an idiotic thing. No man or woman ever ignores God and not suffer the consequences. No man or woman ever run from God or avoid God and not suffer the consequences. That is a fact. Chapter 1 of the book of Jonah, verse 2 to verse 3.
Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city.
It was truly a great city at that time. In the time of Jonah, Nineveh, the capital of Syria. In fact, it was the country of Syria. Nineveh being the capital. That great city. Read.
And cry against it.
Cry against it.
For their wickedness is come up before me.
Our evil, our sin, our wickedness always affect the Almighty God negatively. And it is never good for us, our sin. No sin escapes the Almighty God. Simply because God is holy and righteous, every sin affects the Almighty God. Never think that your sin is a small sin. Read.
But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish.
Jonah got up and decided to run from the commission and run from God. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, and faithful Christian in our midst, backsliding Christian, visiting friends, when you run from the directive in the gospel that Christ meant for you, you're doing yourself injustice all the time. God gave Jonah a commission. Jonah was trying to run from it. What verse are you?
I'm at 3.
Read 3.
From the presence of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and went down to Joppa,
mm-hmm.
and he found a ship going to Tarshish.
Mm-hmm.
So he paid the fare thereof, mm-hmm. and went down into it.
All this is running from God.
To go with
When verse 3 finished, verse 8 through 10.
To go with them unto Tarshish, mm-hmm. from the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. From what?
From the presence of the Lord.
Somebody didn't hear that. You know, you just hear David say, where you are going to go? From God's presence. And today we still do not recognize that there's nothing we do or say or think that is hidden from God. Nothing. Verse 10, 8 through 10.
Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us?
That is, after the Almighty God terrorized the ship in which he was traveling. You hear, so you can't run away from God. You hear that God is inevitable and unavoidable. God decided to target the ship that this man was using to run away from God. And the men on the ship, they were terrorized too. Huh? Huh? That's right. Read on.
What is thine occupation?
What work you do?
And whence comest thou?
Where you are come from?
And what is thy country?
What country you belong to? What a lot of questions.
And of what?
Wait, brother. You see, when disaster comes, when the Almighty God terrorizes us, all sorts of thought run through our mind. Read.
And of what people art thou?
Uh-huh.
And he said unto them,
mm-hmm.
I am an Hebrew.
I am an Hebrew.
And I fear the Lord.
I fear God.
The God of heaven.
The God of heaven.
Which hath made the sea and the dry land.
And he make the sea, the dry land. And all you see, the sea get rough and boisterous and put the fear of God in us. It's the God who made the sea that is responsible for all of that. Read on.
And then were the men exceedingly afraid.
You think they were afraid before? And they were, and now they became afraid.
And
when they realized that Jehovah God had something to do with it, and that Jonah was the connection. Read, brother.
And said unto him,
uh-huh.
Why hast thou done this?
That's right.
For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord.
That's right.
Because he had told them.
You can't run from God. You can't hide from God. And look here, don't try to avoid God's directive. There are consequences. What verse are you?
That was 10.
Step down to 15.
So they took
15 up following.
So they took up Jonah,
uh-huh.
and cast him forth into the sea.
They didn't want to do this, you know. They thought seriously about it before this was done. They threw him in the sea. Now they knew now that this man was done for. You understand? They tossed him into the sea.
And the sea ceased from her raging.
Y'all understand what happened? What a great God. how great thou art. The moment them threw him over in the sea became calm. Because the Almighty God is in charge of all of nature. And we need to keep that in mind. As I said recently, when I think of the destruction, that hurricane, the many hurricanes that we have seen over the past few weeks have done, and in not only in terms of things, but in terms of human lives. And when I think of things like earthquake and tornado, natural disaster, man has no control over them. No control over them. God is in charge. Read on.
Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord.
They don't realize that that have nothing to do with it. But thanks be to God, they have the common sense to respect God. Read on.
And made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Brothers and sisters, you talk about terror. Here it is. Here it is. In fact, may I say again to you that in many cases, even for us, the Almighty God sometimes have to terrorize us. And he has many options. And I'm talking now in our modern time. God's power sometimes have to terrorize us to bring us to our senses, and he does it for our own good in many cases. Are we all there? The Almighty God had to terrorize the Philippian jailer with an earthquake. With an earthquake. Massive, awesome Roman jail. And when God finished shaking that thing, the prison officer ran to the prisoner. And then, thank God, he ran in the direction where the servants of God were, because they were the only one qualified to give him the right word. If he had run in another direction, asking, what must I do to be saved? Nobody there could have helped him, but he ran. Because you know what? Sometimes, previous to the earthquake, he heard Paul and his company singing. Are we all there? Christians, don't ever be ashamed or afraid to do what is right wherever you are. Because a lot of times that's the only light that God is providing for those by whom you are surrounded. Who was I talking to recently? And the discussion was, you go to a restaurant. While we have heard people spoke about it, I'm not talking that. Somebody and myself, just within the past 2 weeks or so, we're talking, you go to a restaurant and you feel shy and ashamed to bow your head and give God thanks. May I? That's the very place that thanksgiving is necessary. If it's not necessary any other place, that's where it is necessary. Because you are genuinely and hope you are giving God thanks for that meal, but you are telling those who might be listening that it is God who provides. And a lot of times there are people there who have no one to remind them of that but you. But you. Thanks be to God that Paul and his company were singing while in prison. So when the earthquake came, when the terror from the Almighty God came, when the Almighty God used natural disaster to terrorize the jailer, he knew exactly what direction to run in. And his question did not fall on deaf ears. And Neo asked what you must do to be saved. That would have been the response had he run, into the wrong direction. But God used that earthquake to terrorize the jailer. For the first time, the man run and asked, not where are the prisoners? That was his job, you know. But that was of no consequence to him now. What must I do to be saved? Chapter 1 finished, brother. You start at 15.
We read up to 17.
Read on.
Chapter 2.
Yes.
Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly.
Oh my God, man, let me tell you. That's a place to say a prayer. I don't think there has ever been a prayer like this. What a great God. And the many lessons in this for us, that the Almighty God can protect you wherever you are and whatever danger by which you are faced, depending on his will. The fish belly. You would have thought that by the time that fish swallow you, you suffocate. You understand? You, there's no oxygen for you. But the Almighty God can preserve us anywhere. And he prayed. Read on.
And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard me
mm-hmm.
out of the belly of hell.
Out of what? Cried.
Out of the belly of hell, cried I.
Out of what? The belly of hell?
The belly of hell.
That's where he thought he was. And I would have thought that's where I was too. That's right. You are thrown over in the sea and a big fish just come and swallow you. In fact, Jonah was little better than I would have been under, because I would have fainted, and even though my heart supposed to be good, I would have had an heart attack from that. That's right. Now, I, as I've said, I rather deal with a lion or a tiger cat and land. I rather deal with the gunmen on land than in the sea where, you know, that's not my territory. So Jonah thought he was in hell. Read, brother.
And thou heardest my voice,
uh-huh.
for thou hadest cast me into the deep,
mm-hmm.
in the midst of the seas,
mm-hmm.
and the floods compassed me about.
Uh-huh.
All thy billows and thy waves passed over me.
One of the great things in spite of Jonah running from God is that Jonah never forget that the one person he had and can look to is the Almighty God. We must compliment him for that. Because a lot of time we find ourselves in situation and it's like we forget God. We must never forget God. In all thy ways, acknowledge the Lord. Thank God that in spite of the terror that was facing him, he realized if there's one person that can hear me anywhere, it is the Almighty God. If there's one person that can be of help to me anywhere I am, it's the Almighty God. Read, brother.
Then said I, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple.
You get the point? I am cast out of thy sight. In other words, look where me day. But you know what? You are the only one I know. You are the only one, God, if there's help that can come where I am, you are the only one who can provide it. Read on.
The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth close me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head.
You get the point? This is a fish feeding, you know. All that was in the fish belly, intestine, the weed that the fish eat, wrap around him. Oh my God, what an experience. Read on.
I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars.
Wait, you all know that in the sea there you have mountains. You know, this earth is a marvelous place. The Almighty God has made the sea and has placed so much food in the sea, the fish, for our benefit. Read on, brother.
The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple.
What verse is that?
7.
Stop there, brothers. By the time God's word came to Jonah a second time, that's chapter 3, verse 1. Jonah was willing to run to carry out what God said. That's when God's word. If there's a man who learned, you can't run from God. You cannot ignore or avoid God's directive. Don't try. If there's one man who learned that and learned that well, was Jonah. So the Almighty God did not decide, let me try something else. The Almighty God realized that the best person now, the most qualified person for this mission or undertaking was Jonah. Jonah was now more educated, more experienced, more enlightened than previously. So listen to chapter 3, verse 1, following.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee.
I love this. Ladies and gentlemen, were you reading with us? Or were you listening? The Almighty God did not leave it up to Jonah's opinion in respect to what he should preach. God never, he has never done that. May I? Read the entire Bible. And the Almighty God usually gives instruction in respect to the what of what we preach. The Almighty God has never left up to man, go preach what you want or what you like or what you think. No, sir. That's not man's prerogative. Listen, is it verse 3?
So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an...
Verse 2.
Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee.
You all got that? This is quite instructive. Preach to Nineveh, but you must preach the preaching that I give thee. Did you know it's the same thing today? You don't believe me? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. Let us hear it.
If any man speak.
If any man speak. That means if you are speaking for God.
Let him speak as the oracles of God.
Let him speak as the oracle. Brother Mitchell, what does that word oracle mean? That which has been declared by God. The word oracle there means that which God declares. So when the Almighty God told Jonah to preach the preaching that I bid you, it's like God is saying, speak as my oracle. Jonah was not to preach his imagination. He was not to preach what men and women desire. He was not to preach what men and women find palatable. Are we there? God gave the man his message. And you know what? Jonah was in one case more fortunate than we preachers today. Why? Look at verse 4 and the message that God gave the man. Look at verse 4.
And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said.
Watch here now. And he cried and said.
Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.
Wait. This is the preaching that God gave him. That's right. This is the exact word that God gave the man. Yet 40 days and
Nineveh shall be overthrown.
You know, she said the man fortunate. All this effort I'm putting out. Yet 40 days. Watch, you know. We are expected to tell you one about Jesus Christ. And what he did for you. We are expected to tell you two about God's plan of salvation. We are expected to tell you about true worship. Yes, Christ touch us. All these, we are expected to tell. We are supposed to let men and women know how are they going to be saved God's way. So we can't come up here like Jonah. 40 days and Kingston will be destroyed. My God, I wish we had a short message like that. But thanks be to God for the message of the gospel. Yes, long as it might be sometime, as much as times when we wish we could preach for 10 or 15 minutes, but because of the richness of the gospel and the enlightenment it contains and the responsibility those of us who preach it have, we can neither make it long for long sake or cut it short for short sake. That's right. 40 days. And Nineveh shall be destroyed. What a short message. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? The message was to the point. God wanted him to deliver the short message. You see, as I've told you, the New Testament, Paul preached up to 12 o'clock one night. Nobody here now asleep yet. That's right. One man slept on him till him fell over the window. Luckily, Paul could raise him back from the dead. But that was a long message Paul preached. The gospel sometimes calls for that. Nineveh repented, thanks be to God. Note something here that is always consistent and true. You need to note this. It is found. Well, let us hear chapter 3, verse 5 following.
So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them.
I want you to listen, read on.
For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, mm-hmm. and he arose from his throne, mm-hmm. and he laid his robe from him, mm-hmm. and covered him with sackcloth.
That's the king, you know, of this great nation, in this great city of theirs. Read on.
And sat in ashes, mm-hmm. and he caused it to be proclaimed.
Everywhere in the Bible, you notice that repentance, if it is genuine, comes with a certain attitude. And we need to learn that. Everywhere from Genesis to Revelation, everywhere you see true repentance, of necessity, if it's going to be acceptable to God, there is a certain attitude that the repentant person must have. You see the contriteness, the humility. I often said from this pulpit, and it is a fact, when you truly repent, you do not editorialize. You do not come explaining things away or trying to excuse yourself. No, the Almighty God has all the facts. Don't try to enlighten him. If you or I are not prepared to come with our sin, contriteness, no worry come at all. We must learn that. Read, brother.
And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh, mm-hmm. by the decree of the king, mm-hmm. and his nobles, mm-hmm. saying, let neither man...
Watch here now. This represents the true repentance. Let neither man
nor beast herd
nor flock
taste anything. Mm-hmm. Let them not feed nor drink water.
Uh-huh.
But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth.
Uh-huh.
And cry mightily unto God.
Uh-huh.
Yea. Let them turn everyone from his evil way.
Thus, let them turn everyone from his evil way. You see, that's what repentance is about. Changing your direction, your course, your thinking, your attitude, your disposition, your conduct. But watch here. I said, there is something here that is always consistent and true. Here it is. It's found in verse 5 again.
So the people of Nineveh believed God.
Stop there. That's faith. That's faith. True faith always produces obedient action.
Yeah. That's right.
Without exception. When faith or belief is true, genuine, it can never stand alone. That is faith. If it is true faith or belief, it must produce obedient action. Are we all there? So watch here now. The obedient action, notice in verse 6 through 8, resulted from the faith of verse 5. Look at the obedient action again, quick brother, in verse 6 through 8.
For word came unto the king of Nineveh.
Word came to the king of Nineveh, the leader of that great nation.
And he arose from his throne.
He got up from his throne.
And laid his robe from him.
He put his royal robe from him.
And covered him with sackcloth.
That was the sign of true contriteness. He put sackcloth.
And sat in ashes.
And sat in ashes. Humility. True repentance. Read on.
And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh.
A royal declaration throughout the land.
By the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast,
let neither man nor beast,
herd nor flock,
herd nor flock,
taste anything,
eat anything.
Let them not feed nor drink water.
Let them not feed or drink water.
But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth.
Wait. To deprive the body of its necessity is to discipline the body. But all this demonstration and action of true repentance, it comes from the true faith that we see in verse 5. Because true faith always produces obedient action. That applies to you. Like if you are here today as a man or woman who have never gotten under the blood of Jesus Christ through obedience. If you truly believe, yes, you are saying, Mr. Mitchell, I'm here this morning because I believe there's a God. When you stop just at mere belief, you and Satan are sleeping in the same bed. That's what the Bible says, you know, in effect. That the devil believes and trembles. In fact, him go a little further than some of us. I have a sermon based on that. That is, the devil believe and tremble. Why are you not trembling? I'm going to show in that lesson when it comes up the intelligence of Satan. That's why he trembled. True faith always produces obedient action. May I? We see this in the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, a passage most of us know, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the people who heard his message asked, what must we do? Peter told them to repent. Why? He knew that they already believed. In the same book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, And when they believe Philip.
Preaching the things
concerning
the kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God and
the name of Jesus Christ.
The name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized. When did they baptize? The Bible says, when they believe Philip. You notice again that obedient action usually always follow true belief. Are we there? Verse 10 of chapter 3.
And God saw their works.
That their works of repentance.
That they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them.
Brothers and sisters, we don't have far to go, not that the message is finished, but time is calling upon us. God repented. You sure you read that in the Bible, brother? Huh?
God repented of the evil that he had
and
said.
And go and read it again. God repented. Haven't I read in the book of Numbers 23, verse 19 through 20, that God is not a man that he should repent? Let us hear that passage.
God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent.
You all hear that? Jonathan is reading God's word, Numbers chapter 23. Verse 8 through 20. And the Almighty God is laying down the reason that he... You see, may I? Repentance represents a change. Repentance represents a variableness. Hence, Malachi 3:6. Quick. Malachi 3:6. The last book in the Old Testament.
For I am the Lord.
I am the Lord.
I change not. Therefore, ye sons.
Wait. That's why. When the Bible, God repentance represents a change. The Almighty God has already told us in Numbers, he's not a man that he should repent. He comes here in Malachi and tell us
for I am
that
the Lord.
He changed not. So what's wrong? Does the Bible contradict itself? Ladies and gentlemen, may I? It's important that you get this. There are times when we read different parts of the Bible and it appears as if it contradicts itself. It does not. The Bible does not contradict itself. For example, when you read in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 10, 8 through 10, that God is not a man that he should repent, does that mean what it says? Yes! Then, Brother Mitchell, how then you coordinate the passage in Jonah, chapter 3, verse 10, that God repented? Does that mean what it says? Yes. What we need now to do is to coordinate, to understand each passage means what it says, but we need to understand what each passage is saying. It's not contradiction. It sounds so. And a lot of times you meet people out there who want you to throw away the Bible and abandon your relationship with God. They want to tell you that look how the Bible contradicts itself. Here it says God no repent, and here they have not spent any time with God's word. And you know what? As long as they have that attitude, want to find fault with God, God will even give them. Because that's what they want to do. They think that that's going to excuse them from their God-given responsibility. But because you are anxious to go home to your rice and peas, I beg you to be back tonight when we take up the rest of this lesson. And at that time, we will discuss a little... The rest of the lesson is not just on the repentance of God. We will be spending probably 10 minutes on that to help you understand better the two passages and probably other passages which speaks about the repentance of God. But we want tonight, when we get back, to talk a little about the gourd tree. You're all city people. You never drink out of calabash. If you want a fridge without electricity, put your water in the gourd that is peeled out all parts in it is cleaned up. And when you go bush, go plant yam and thing, you pull it of water and you have cool water throughout the day. It's made from the good plant. You see, we people who grow up in the country are educated people. But come back tonight. We need to understand more about the repentance of God. God is not a man that he should repent. Meaning, God is not like man that is changeable. Come tonight at 7, God's willing. But right now, as we end this portion of the lesson, if you are here tonight, this morning rather, remember, you have learned so far, it is really foolish and madness and idioticness and naivety to try to ignore God's directive for you. We have seen Jonah. May I also remind you, don't seek to be converted by a miracle. You don't want to. You're not going to be converted by a miracle. That's the first thing. If you're waiting for an angel to come and shake you, tell you it's time to become a Christian, Satan is going to make you hold on to that falsehood until you die in your sin. Because God today, he is saving men and women through preaching of the gospel. No other means. And men and women who want to be saved by a miracle, you may just get an experience like Jonah or like the Philippian jailer. The Almighty God may use natural disaster to terrorize you, hoping that your heart is good. But you know what? Intelligence, common sense, be telling you, you know what, the best time to accept Jesus Christ and give my life to him is right now. Normal situation. I sat here, I listened to the gospel of a man who was running from God, tried to ignore and avoid God's directive, and look at the experience which God put him through. I don't want to do that. There's much to learn. In the lesson coming up tonight, God's willing, on one occasion after everything, Jonah was so depressed, the Almighty God provided him comfort. And then we're going to look further on that comfort that God provided him. But right now, Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't try to ignore God's warning message. Grace and kindness to you. When the scripture says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, that represents God's grace and mercy and goodness. Please respond to it right now in faith, repentance from sin, confessing Christ's name, and getting baptized to get under the influence of Christ's blood. As we stand, Christ calls.